when people read about Indians and stuff like that, they romanticize a lot of things and conceptions. And when they hear Hopi farming, they are about Hopis, they really think of them as being really, that they have a deep knowledge. And there is a deep knowledge, but a lot of times it's just common sense or practical ways of living.
Almost everything about Hopi farming is different from modern industrial farming. This week on the Nature Stories podcast, Hopi farmers David and Davis Pakusa talk about their relationship to the land and why they reject not only chemicals and pesticides, but also irrigation and even manure as fertilizer. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Hopi Farmers, produced by John Buin and Camille LaCapa for the series Five Farms.
So yesterday, Saturday, we had some really strong winds. It was really windy, a lot of dust blowing around. My name's David Pakusa, and today's Sunday, June 8th. So this morning's pretty nice, so we came out to check out, see what the wind did, and we're just digging out the plants. Like, I have bean plants growing here, purple string beans. It's on a slope, and also checking for worms, because at this stage, they're real tender, and the worms like to chew on that and get their moisture. Uh-oh, see, another beetle. You just sort of dig around them, and they'll be laying right under, near the stems, and all you can do is, what I do is get the head and squeeze it, because they're going to eat your plants.
This mesa is called Bangubi, and in the English, they call it No Trail Mesa. And we have fields on the other side of this, and then on this side. This is more called the Sutaba area, because there's a little spring over there. Suta is that reddish stuff that they used to put on their face, you know, from sunburn. And there's a red dirt area, so that's why they call that Sutaba. That's where I grew up with my grandparents.
Davis Fred Pakusa is my last name. There's a clan, Pakuskian. They're primarily from Shungupa, the Second Mesa area. Apparently my grandfather's father was from that area.
What we do to control the pests is all manual. See, look, now I have to do something because I have a rat. Look, he's digging him out. Oh, man. So now I have a rat, so I have to get some cans or something like that, you know. See, I work at the school, so we get these big number 10 cans, and so, like, I collect them and I take off both ends and I wash them. And then I'll come and I'll get the can and I'll stick it in the ground around the plant. And then what they'll do is also, like, maybe, like, collect dog poop and put it in water and let it kind of rot. And then sprinkle their plants with that, and they don't like that smell, you know. So, but I was thinking of getting, like, a spray bottle with Tabasco in there or something. And so if they taste it, they, you know, burn their mouths like that. You know, you just try everything, you know, and back and forth. Sometimes they'll wipe out your whole planting and you might get disheartened there. Oh, well, I'll just try again.
We've never used any kind of help, you know, with chemicals or anything like that, or manure. I wanted to do that sometimes, just a small area, just to test it out, see what would happen. But I'm in a lot of ways to still do it traditional way, so just letting nature and with help.
I always go with that kind of attitude that I'm not the first person here, that there's things that have been here way older than me, and that they see my intentions, what I'm doing, and that I'm asking their permission and also to aid me in my work in farming. You know, I can feel it. There's all these energies around, and your ancestors are the things of this land, and the whole reason why we plant. So I'm just a tool, you know. I'm not the source of it happening. I'm just the one that's putting the seeds in and taking care of it and doing my part on that side. So I try to do it in a real respectful way.
See that little slope there, the little hill where the fence is? Right there, my grandparents used to raise the early corn. And I remember sleeping there with my grandfather and grandma because the porcupine was coming. So we slept there waiting for it, and when it came, you know, got rid of it.
The coyotes will come at night too, and they'll eat the corn, fresh corn. So I'll sit myself up here with my chair and maybe a little radio, a couple blankets, the shotgun or something, maybe listening out, because I'll hear it, you know, it'd be dark and I could hear them like pulling down the corn and stuff, so that's when I'll shoot to scare them because I can't really see where they're at. I don't want to shoot into the corn. Look at that. One time I was sitting way on that side, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just sitting there with my gun, and it was so quiet and dark, I mean really dark, and I could just see all the stars, you know. And I was just sitting there, then up over this hill I could hear like those coyotes coming. Then I had a flashlight with me, and I turned it, and I see all these eyes, like about 6 or 8 sets of eyes up there. So I start shooting up there, and they took off that way.
Based on our dances, you know, so I guess it's a time for, they call it home dances, but it signifies, you know, that we're now going back, you know, in our calendar, the summer solstices is now past, you know, so we're now going back, you know, and normally this time the rains would come. Today is July 26th. We don't get too much moisture to begin with, you know, so maybe if we're lucky we get 10, 11 inches a year.
Well, yeah, the monsoon season, it was slow to start this year, I think. Last year we were getting hit pretty good with it, and this year it's just like going around different places. You can't really rely and say, oh, it's going to be coming this way again. It's every year it changes. And that's what I one of the things I learned is that the clouds are trying to find their path, and when they find that path, then that year they'll just go in that route. Next year it might be a different path. They say you're not supposed to water your field because we're supposed to do it through prayer and song, but you know, it's just in different people. Some people water, and I think they doesn't mean they don't believe in it or anything, but you know, I'd rather not be the talk of everybody. Oh, he waters his wheel, you know. So I go along with everybody else and just dry farm, and how it comes out is what we were blessed with.
John Buin and Camille LaCapa produced that piece as part of the series Five Farms. If you'd like to hear more pieces like this one, go to the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. Support for this podcast is provided by the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, send them to podcast@tnc.org. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.